Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Bill and Jordan, what do we got going on here?
Here's the thing. When we think of Bill Belichick, we think of leadership.
It's football time, fellas. Let's get into it.
We don't think of him being led. We don't think of him needing anyone's help.
The whole thing smells a little funny. We're not exactly sure. It might be all above the board, but it does smell a little funny.
Just stretch. You guys need to stretch. Maybe that's a problem. Too much gossiping and not enough stretching.
It also could be him being smitten with a woman who is teaching him something.
What she clearly is. She's teaching him how to utilize the value of social media.
And posting things on, Instant Face and all that. I think
this is an industrious young woman. And I mean this in the most positive way. I think that's a dangerous woman. And I think that she is going to be doing things for a long time.
We had one fight like the second day, and then I made them run because they had so much energy to fight, and we haven't had any since then.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Spiegel and Holmes show. In the missing Lawrence formation, it is me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Mark Grody. We're here with you all afternoon. My dude, Mark Grody, along with Sean Sears and Alex Kuhn, ready to take you into your weekend. Here's what's going on today. Olin Krutz at the top of the 3 o'clock hour will talk Bears post-draft with us. Been a lot of really interesting offensive line conversation that's gone on, and we'll do it with Olin. Later on in the show, Wayne Randazzo, who does games for Apple TV, Cubs and Brewers up in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that in a second. Wayne's going to join us. Then we got a lot of different topics, a lot of different things we're going to get to. Very excited to get to all of it. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Also, a reminder that you should keep listening. Why? Oh, for your chance to win your way in to see Mully and Haw doing their show live on Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of a studio audience as they get you set for the start of the Crosstown Series with special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark. Be the sixth caller to 312-540-0670. When you hear this,
boom, down goes Haw.
That must have been in the Court of Dreams game, because, oh man, a game that I got to play in this year at United Center with David Haw, he took a hard fall where you hear it, but you get up really fast because you're more embarrassed than hurt, and then the next day you're just like, ow!
Oh man, yeah. On the hardwood of a basketball court.
Haw, check me out.
That's Friday, May 16th, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. You can dial us up, you can get involved at 312-644-6767. Groats, good to see you. you, man. We always have a good time when we get a chance to work together.
No doubt, brother. Good to see you, too. And the Cubs only have 13 games left against the Brewers.
So it's crazy, isn't it? We're 32 games into the season, and we can measure the Cubs against some of the best teams in baseball because they've played some of the best teams in baseball. But this is your first chance to measure them against what I think we all still expect to be the rival in the division. The Brewers have been the rival for a while. It's an interesting process. Like during the Theo years, we saw the Cubs slowly overtake the Cardinals, the divisional rival and the institutional standard all at the same time.
2015. Yep.
It's a magical series. Mm-hmm. That was a good time.
Kyle Schwarber planted one up in the scoreboard.
Let us live there.
Let us, yeah, for a moment.
Yep.
And then scene.
And then, you know, the Cubs stay there. And then pretty quickly by, I don't know, 2018, the Brewers have passed the Cubs. And you could argue that since 2018, the Brewers have stayed ahead of the Cubs. I always think of this when I think of the Brewers, the way that Cliff Floyd from Marquee described them after a game last year when the Cubs blew it.
I remember.
They blew it early on and at Wrigley, and Cliff Floyd on a Friday afternoon said, you just can't do that against them because this is what they are.
You cannot allow guys to just get in the scoring position. Now, you can give up hits, and hits are part of the game, but when you're not paying attention to details Albert wasn't doing, then it allows guys to get into score position to score with a lousy little hit, you know, that's going to fall in somewhere. So all these little things are going to beat you, especially against a button-up team like the Brewers are.
A button-up team like the
against
Brewers
against a button-up team.
I had not heard it like that, but I love that. Not just because I'm a top button swag guy, but just because that says it all. Because we always talk about you got to play clean, you got to play smart, play good defense, run the bases well, you know, don't walk the leadoff guy. This is what the Brewers have been for years and years and years.
Yeah, and don't think just because Brandon Woodruff is not available and Corbin Burns is gone, no matter who they lose. Because last year we thought, okay, it's starting to free up a little bit. And then a bunch of no-name starters in the beginning of the season dominated. And we all kept asking the question, when's it going to stop? Like, it's going to stop. I mean, I remember filling in on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine. We had Ken Rosenthal on, and we were all just kind of laughing at the Brewers. We're all like, okay, this is at some point in time, this silliness is going
to
end.
Because they lost David Stearns to the Mets. They lost Craig Counsell to the Cubs. They can't possibly just keep
it
rolling.
There's no way, and they kept it rolling. So we all want to think, well, the magic was Woodruff and Burns and all. No, it's a good organization that produces really good baseball players.
The 11th best starting pitcher ERA in baseball with Jose Quintana, who's been really good. You're welcome. Chad Patrick, and then Freddie Peralta's been good, and then Woodruff is coming back, by the way. Woodruff is very close to coming back for them.
Scary.
But here's what's interesting about the Brewers so far this year. They have not been a button-up team. They're middle of the pack in the base running stats that I checked at a few different places. Then how about this? Defensively, they're second to last in the percentage of ground balls that turn into outs, which is a way that team defense is often talked about these days, at least from an infield perspective. They're ahead of only the Chicago White Sox.
Wow. And you can't survive if you're the Milwaukee Brewers and play bad defense.
No, you can't. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because that's their hallmark, is that they're supposed to be that team.
You got
to
do it differently. It's like Tampa Bay. You got to do things differently if you're going to be that market, and they have mastered that. So that's a good thing. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good thing to keep an eye on. If that keeps up, that portends well for the Cubs, obviously.
They do have the 27th best bullpen ERA in baseball as well. So their bullpen has not been great. Trevor McGill hasn't been awesome. Joel Piamps has been bad. And then there's a whole bunch of guys you never heard of. They have a guy named Yoho.
Yoho.
Craig Yoho.
Yoho.
Yoho. I thought it was Yoho. First time I saw it, I was like,
delicious.
That's a delicious chocolate water beverage.
What is Yoho? I've never had it because I've never wanted to have it. For reals.
Yoho.
Yes. I've never had Yoho. Is it chocolate milk?
It's chocolate water, essentially.
Chocolate water?
It really is. Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound like it should be good, but
it is good.
It's chocolate, man.
Okay. Watered down chocolate.
It's what it's like,
how do you sell that? Here's our watered down chocolate.
It's cold.
Enjoy.
It's cold hot chocolate. You know, are you a water hot chocolate guy or a milk hot chocolate guy?
Yeah, I guess both. I guess both.
So, yeah, my kid will drink either.
Point taken.
It's just cold.
Right. It's a little richer with the milk. It just richens
it. Of course. It's much better.
Right.
No one should ever have it with water. But I didn't know.
That's, some of us couldn't afford milk when we were growing up.
You kidding me?
My mom would have it, and she would boil the water for us.
I was a fat kid. Like, I could just drink a candy bar. Let's do that.
Drink a candy bar. Just melt it down? Is that
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
Half a cup of marshmallows up in there.
You know what my kid likes is the, you know, the little multicolored marshmallows that are not regular marshmallow flavors?
Like the ones in the cereal? Like the Trix?
No, like you can get them, like it's just in their own bag.
Okay, I didn't know that.
But they're like fruit marshmallows.
Okay.
He likes to put those in hot chocolate.
Oh, interesting.
It's disgusting.
Well, it sweetens it up even more.
Yeah, but it's like it's not a real marshmallow
thing. I would prefer that than Yoo-hoo, quite frankly.
You would?
At this moment. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
man.
I would. So.
I was a Yoo-hoo kid and a shock to nobody. But Craig Yoho is here.
Yoho's here.
And his name is not Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo,
but,
Yoho.
But they do still have like a bunch of young and athletic dudes. Like Bryce Terang is good. Sal Frelick is good. And the kid Jackson Churio is a young star, totally capable of being their superstar.
Willie Contreras still there. Reese Hoskins hitting. Yelly's there, of course.
To your point, William has been the better Contreras for several years now.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. There is a fear factor when he comes up to the plate. There's no doubt about it. He's a good ball player.
He has been the better Contreras. Yelich is not what he once was, but he's still capable of being Yelich every once in a while. What do you think? Is history going to say that Yelich was cheating? That Yelich was like taking advantage of some pitch selection cheats at home games in Milwaukee. You remember that stuff?
Yeah.
They were holding up mirrors and doing some reflection stuff from the bullpen out there.
So you're not saying like roids or anything like that? Okay.
No.
Because yeah, I'm saying
like pitch stealing.
Interesting. I don't know, but he was damn good with the Marlins too. I know he had his best seasons with, but I remember watching when the Marlins sucked and just like, oh, who's
and
this Yelich guy?
Yeah, you're
Who
right.
else was with Yelich? There was another guy on that Marlins. Big home run hitter.
Real Muto was there.
Real Muto, but there was another one in that outfield.
Stanton?
That played for the White Sox.
Wasn't Giancarlo Stanton there?
Stanton was there. Yeah, but there was in the Yelich outfield, they had two guys that both went into free agency that year, and one of them was with the White Sox for a year or two. Man, okay, we'll get to it. I do want to bring up one name, like in terms of maybe things change with the Cubs and Brewers this year.
Yeah, because we haven't even mentioned any Cubs. We talk about the Brewers.
Well,
just
no. There is a name on the Brewers that is no longer there. His name is, and I've tried to do this exercise in the past with guys that have left, like Corbin Burns. Willie Adames can't hurt the Cubs anymore. He can't hurt you anymore. Willie Adames, in 48 games against the Chicago Cubs, 11 home runs, 39 RBIs, an 851 OPS. Yes, a 505 slug as well. So I don't know. I try to do this when these guys leave, but then they keep burning. But man, Willie, last year alone, he destroyed the Cubs. So that guy, he's on my list with Eugenio Suarez in terms of recent Cubs killers.
Yeah, I love that dude. Adames signed a big deal in San Francisco, and the Giants are doing pretty well with Adames as part of the mix out there. Texters say Marcelo Zuna was on that team.
Marcelo Zuna.
Not a White Sox, though, right?
Wait, who am I thinking of?
Ozuna went to, obviously he's in Atlanta now, but I think there was a stop. Because he was a Cardinal and then a Marlin.
Right,
but they gave up on him there.
But it was he and Yelly that were the big deal. I want to say they went into free agency the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marlins always got those guys that you pluck. They're like a AAA team that teams pick from.
Are you thinking of Avisail Garcia?
Nope, not Avisail Garcia.
Okay.
God, I got to go back. Sorry.
You know,
my bad.
We could just keep naming Marlins. You know?
That was the Marlins when Jeter took over, right? When they had the fire sale?
Give me the White Sox starting lineup from, say, 3 years ago. I'm serious.
Like, really?
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
Can I request we don't do that on the air?
Okay, that's fair.
Although, yesterday, do you guys see Luis Robert had like one of those games that you're hoping Luis Robert does that for you?
Yeah.
But he had four RBIs and he stole a grand slam and he had a stolen base.
That's about right.
You're like, oh, look at that.
The old bases clearing double.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
He can do that thing. All right. If you want to give Mark Grody, I'm not going to hold back. If he wants the White Sox starting lineup from 3 years ago, you can give it.
You got it?
Didn't even look it up, did
Alex?
You? No.
Oh, no.
They know. Okay. Dana. I'm looking at Marlins right now. Okay. Juan Pierre, that's my first entry.
Oh, yeah, former Cub Juan Pierre. Mm-hmm. Loved Juan Pierre when he came to the Cubs. I love Juan Pierre.
Yeah, well, you know, Juan Pierre is part of the answer to a great baseball trivia question that I asked. I got a lot of those. I don't think there's really a market for it, though, the baseball trivia questions. It's more of a hit-and-run thing on a Sunday morning.
Was the trivia question, who is the first guy in the major leagues to have 50 stolen bases in his first 4 years?
No.
It's just a guess, not literally just guessing. I don't know if that's a truth at all, but it just feels like I'm trying to think of his specialties or what would be interesting about Juan. He stole a lot of damn bases.
Nomar Mazara?
Was he on the Nomar Mazara?
No, I don't think that's
I'm sorry what
of.
I've done to the show. You've I derailed, apologize.
You've derailed the entire business.
Oh, yes. Encarnacion.
Oh, Encarnacion.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Yes, for some reason, he probably wasn't even a Marlin. He was Edwin of the Encarnacion.
That was Juan Encarnacion who was the Marlin.
Okay. See, I wasn't too far off. I wasn't crazy. I'm glad. I did derail the show, but I wasn't completely wrong. So I'm happy.
Let's slot in a Mark Grody show derailment once an hour. I think on the 37s. Every hour at 37 after, demand a Grody show derailment.
I listen to your show a lot, Spiegel.
What?
You derail a lot of segments yourself.
I do.
So.
Hey, man, that's been my skill set for a long time.
Yeah, it's usually the Holocaust.
But I mean, I can derail it better than just about anybody.
I know.
But I usually derail it from over there in that chair.
It's not this chair.
So whoever's in this chair has to with a lot of anxiety, they have to try to hold the train on the tracks.
Yes.
This is why I like that chair.
Well, see.
Now I'm over here. I can't derail things from here.
You got to keep. Exactly.
It's difficult.
You're the engineer, man. You got to keep this puppy rolling.
I'm driving that train. I am so high on cocaine.
Right. Since I insist upon myself, you have to keep an eye on me.
And here's the thing. You deserve a break today.
Yeah, I do.
Because you drove a show last night for 3 hours.
That's right.
So you deserve to be the guy that just derails the show.
And we had a baldy rain delay. Yeah. Can imagine that? I had 15 minutes of radio hell last night.
We can't do that.
Yeah.
Can you book Baldy 3 times and so we can never have him and just go into rain delay theater?
Make sure you have the right time zone, too.
Oh, is that the issue?
Yeah, and
it was
not Studs' fault. I think that whomever he goes through didn't quite get the message to him that it was.
You know, my favorite thing is that even when it's not Studs' fault, it still kind of sucks.
Blame Studs. Yeah.
More Cubs when we come back. There's one lineup move that seems to have worked. We need to talk about why. Olin Krutz, top of the hour, are doing Bears. It's Spiegs and Grody on an already derailed Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here comes the 1-2. Fly ball, deep left field, pretty well hit. Back goes Canario. That ball's back to the wall. Gone! Home run, Seiya Suzuki, his second of the day. Cubs on top, 5-2. That is a big one.
I must say, it just wasn't about his swing where he's able to make such hard contact consistently.
He's a strong man. He's got a beautiful swing, and he's a strong man, and that's it.
I'm enjoying hearing from Craig Council this year. It's Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody. I thought Counts was great the other day with me and Lawrence Holmes. And he's chill. He's a funny dude, smart dude. And now that he's kind of a little more comfy and the team's playing well.
He is different. I noticed the exact same thing.
Didn't you?
Totally. I mean, honestly, I thought that times last year, he just, and it's all getting to know you, just a little cold last year at times.
Yeah.
Even in the interviews here on The Score. Guarded. That's probably a better way to put it. And now you can see it feels like he's allowing himself to be himself more in the interviews.
That when he was talking about PCA the other day.
Oh, my goodness.
With me and Lawrence.
Yeah, like I caught that, and that was my biggest takeaway from it. And the reason it was my biggest takeaway is because he wasn't talking about PCA that way last year. There was a lot of tough love with PCA in terms of the way he played, catching the ball down low, kind of hot-dogging it at times. They sent him down, and now it's like, it's all you, buddy. It's all you, PCA.
Yeah, there's kind of no denying PCA's talent. Here's Counsel the other day talking about Pete Crow Armstrong with me and Lawrence.
Hitting is about getting good pitches, swinging at good pitches. It's not about where you hit the ball. Like, it's about swinging at good pitches. And we don't control where the ball is going to be hit. Maybe there's like four guys in the world that can control where the ball gets hit all the time, right? So it's about getting a good pitch to hit and hitting it hard. And you know that's what Pete needs to do.
So that was from a couple weeks ago. The other day too, Council was talking about Pete Crow Armstrong and said he's just so skilled and so talented. Sometimes he's fast, sometimes he's powerful, and just watching him on the field is like, we've got one of those guys. Mm-hmm. It was just the way that he said that. We've got one of those guys.
I also feel like it's his way of throwing his arms up and saying.
When I hit the talk back button,
it's ridiculous
to talk to the producers. It makes it quieter in your headphones,
right? Plus, I could hear what's going on, so it's impossible to talk.
You hit the talk back button. Go ahead. Yeah, now it's quieter here, and I can't hear anything.
Right, it's really annoying.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So, are there any engineers here? It's a Friday at 2:45. Maybe not. They might all be gone. Basically, they're leaving the station to the dogs on a Friday at 2:40.
That's what happened.
Are you calling me a dog?
No. Now, calling me and Mark Grody dogs.
I think that...
I mean, Tanny's not even here. I mean, Lawrence is like getting his car serviced. Tanny's at Disneyland.
Nobody cares.
No.
Nobody cares.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's so stupid. Everybody does the same thing. I think that...
What? What do you think?
I think... Don't talk in that talk back. I think that the Cubs, to some degree, have thrown their arms up and said,
yeah,
we're not going to really do too much to change anything about PCA anymore because he's still swinging at everything.
And
that will happen. Eventually, you're going to have to tone that down. And this is why he's
maybe.
Not, but this
dude's
is,
got crazy pop at all parts of the strike zone.
That's the other
it's
thing,
insane.
Too. He ain't trying to hit singles anymore either. You know what I mean? Like, we all sort of typecast him as get on bunt, get on base, hit triples, hit doubles, hit leadoff. No.
Yeah, no.
PCA is swinging for home runs now. And Craig Counsell loves home runs. So I think they're saying this is not ideal what's going on with him, the way his approach, but let's let it be.
He's not a leadoff guy. He's not.
No,
and
he's
so
not.
Anybody calling for him to move up just because he's fast, nah.
And I know people will say, well, he leads off once, but guess what? That first at bat of a game is huge.
And I love the way Ian Happ takes it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely love
Fowler,
the way he takes it.
Fowler was genius at the plate. Even if he didn't get on base, 9 to 12 pitches it felt like every at bat he came up when he was a leadoff guy.
It's interesting because when lineup things happen, there's a tendency to want to talk about them. I love talking about lineup things. I think they matter. I think they matter in the mindset of the hitters that are involved. I think it's, you know, no matter what, it's sort of like the win for pitchers. They care about getting a freaking win.
Of course.
Like, hitters care about where they are in the lineup. So you can minimize it and make it about numbers and spreadsheets and like, and we talk about it too much and all that. But you think it matters to Dansby Swanson to be moved down from 5 to 8 in the lineup when you are a $177 million guy who's been the best player in a lot of different spots and is really, really scuffling? You think that matters? He has responded the last 3 games with a home run in the first game, 3 hits in the second game, 2 hits and a home run in the third game. And look, you can see at times Dansby doing something with outside pitches that he had not been doing. And I love it when Ron Coomer tells you about hitting, as he did this morning with Mullion Hall, on what Dansby's doing differently.
delivering the ball away. I mean, it's just, I don't care where you hit in the lineup. The opposing teams have been able to pitch him a certain way, and he hasn't been able to answer, have an answer for what they were doing. And then when you start over, you know, trying overcompensating, then you create other holes in your swing, in your zone, you know, hitting zone. So he's covering the ball the way he's hit some balls a long way. He's hit some home runs the other way. He's got some hits, just base hits. And if he can start covering that outer half and making the emphasis of his approach going back to the middle of the diamond, you know, I know he felt like he was doing that, but when you sit behind home plate, you could see he's coming off the ball some. And when you do that, you're just, you know, opposing teams see that. They're pounding him away and getting him out, you know, and then elevating on him. And he's covering the outer part of the plate. I'm really happy for him because there's nothing worse than being one of your top players on a team and you're struggling hitting and the rest of the guys are doing their job. And it's just a grind, you know, and sometimes maybe just the same thing, David, you know, that wake up of I got moved out of the five hole and now I'm hitting seventh or eighth, you know, wakes you up and you're like, man, I got to get going here. And that's just something maybe that happened to him, you know, and looking in the mirror, that very well could be.
See, that's a guy who knows what it's like to be in that spot. And we can, again, we can have conversations where we minimize that. A little embarrassment goes a long way every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, man. He knows. He knows that he's here to hit. I mean, his fielding has been great. One error, just made that error. Was it yesterday? Yeah, he made his first error of the season, so at least the defense didn't slump. All that stuff that Coombe was talking about, remember the first half of his first season with the Cubs? He was doing all that. His
sure
play
was.
Coverage was great.
Sure was.
I was like, wow, because I didn't see Dansby Swanson play every single day when he was in Atlanta, and then I saw that he was the Cubs' best player for about a half of a season, and then it's just been this weird decline. He's been I'm glad like they haven't benched him or done anything crazy like that because he's obviously very valuable still.
He's a brilliant defender,
brilliant defender.
On the bases,
yes.
all of that. But it's like, you know, I thought what was psychologically fascinating there and there from Coombe was like, I know he thinks that's what he's been doing when he talked about thinking about up the middle and like making sure you're going the other way. I know he thinks that's what he's been doing, but when you're behind him and you get to watch it like Coomer does, that's a different thing. But that's psychologically fascinating because I think we all have things where like, look, I'm thinking about this. I'm trying to do this. It's just still not happening. Sometimes you can get caught up thinking you're doing the right things and you're still not. And and sometimes you need to be told you're still not, by the way, and refocus that.
It's got to be. I mean, you mentioned the embarrassment of it. It's got to be such a relief. I mean, like when baseball players go into slumps, like my head would be like, am I ever going to come out of it? Do I just suck now?
Oh, it's horrible.
Like, it's horrible. And
am I the worst now? Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some guys that don't ever come out. They go into a slump and that's it. That's who they become and that's who they are. So it's got to be frightening as hell and then relieving on the other end.
Let's hear how Olin Kreutz feels about this Bears draft and some of the news that has come to light about the offensive line plan. We'll talk to our guy, Olin, right now, next on The Score.